do a ministry time as we close out here. Actually, I'm going to start reading in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Everything to that juncture, so radical, another sermon, but about the glorious access personally we have by the blood of Jesus and the torn curtain of his body. Awesome deal. Hold on to the confession. Draw near. All kinds of personal stuff. But I love in verse 24, "But let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as the day," and you'll see it capitalized, "as the day is drawing near." That section is what really is on my heart. Chad Langhofer ministered this in Wichita, did a powerful job of unpacking this call for the body of Christ to be in fellowship so that we can do verse 24 and verse 25, that we would consider how to stir up, and the word right there is provoke, really, in the Greek. It's an energetic, irritant, kind of provoke kind of thing, stir one another to love and good works, with the insinuation, obviously, that if we don't do the provoking work in one another's lives, we will not achieve the love and the good works that he's laid out for us. There's something dynamic about the kingdom of God and the friction in the kingdom of God. I was visiting, praying with a couple pastors here in town, and one of the guys said, as we were talking about the trials of ministry, he was saying, crisis is so good because we grow through crisis. Crisis produces that atmosphere for stuff to happen and to develop within our lives if we'll do it in the kingdom way. So this issue of stimulating one another by doing 25, not neglecting meeting together, as is the habit of some, but we're to encourage one another on and on for in the context, because the day is drawing near. And you know, we've been talking for the last month pretty intensely. I've had people tell me they've heard more about the second coming here than they've ever heard. Actually, it was interesting. I took a poll in some places. And how many times have you ever heard a sermon on the second coming? It was like one and two and three. I think there might have been a dozen on one card and 20 in another. But it's a pretty rare subject, which is weird when it's the dominant theme of the whole Bible. But we've been trying to connect the second coming of Jesus to your practical life. And I believe that more than ever, as the day draws nigh, that encouragement, okay, and implantation, in courage, in days of radical fear, is just going to be of the highest value. We've got to be encouraged in our lives, because I'm telling you, there's intensity of days coming that many don't want to think about. Millions are living in now on the earth already in tribulations of various kinds. And this is a call to us as things change and as the days come and deceptions increasing and troubles coming, that we need to be in this synergetic kind of, you know, rubbing up against each other kind of provoking lifestyle. Listen, I don't have any energy to call you to house churches or small groups. I used to. I used to could even call people to prayer meetings. I don't have any energy for it. I don't have faith for it right now. I can't do it. I can't say you all ought to be part of a house church and then I put another burden on you and you just go through the motions, you know what I mean, of going to something or feeling guilty and looking the other way when we talk about it. And I also don't feel freedom to go the other way like we've done of just be led by the Spirit. Just be led by the Spirit. Now, by the way, we want everybody led by the Spirit, but often to us that means the default. I'll be led by the Spirit. When the Spirit stirs me, I'll go meet with a saint. When the Spirit stirs me, then I'll go share the gospel. And of course, you should do that, but we've talked about before, our default position is largely do nothing until God stirs me to do something. And that's funky, because I think the apostolic Bible is, we're doing stuff, the Spirit's moving, unless the Spirit tells us not to do that thing. And so, I don't have faith for either one, putting small groups before you, because you need to be in fellowship, and I don't also want to just say, just do what you feel led to do. What I want to do is do this. I want to apostolically prophesy over you today. I want to do what Paul did. I want to do a don't you know kind of moment. Ryan did this a little bit last week, and I want to come and just shove that thing deeper into your heart by saying this. Listen, the Spirit of Christ, that's in every one of you as born-again believers is already compelling and stirring you to real living fellowship. You don't have to wait to want to or to get in the mood to go to a small group or those kinds of things. What I got to do, my goal isn't to get you to a meeting. My goal is to get you into tune with the Spirit of Christ that's within you. I think this is true for fellowship. It's true for evangelism. It's true for mission. It's true for the fruits of the Spirit in your marriage and the things that you need to overcome. The Spirit of God is already way ahead of you. And He's not just a mandate giver. Like He's up on some throne in your life going, why don't you go to small groups more? Come on. Why don't you share the gospel more? That's never the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the devil will talk to you about those things if he can get you driven under where you're not doing it by the organic life of God. But I will tell you this. I know it because I know the Holy Spirit. I know His Bible. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of God is compelling you to have relationship living stone with living stone. He's compelling you to do that. It's the way the kingdom of God grows. This is not at all some kind of isolationist kind of walk. I have my faith, and I don't talk about it with anybody else, and I'm going to walk. You've got to get in a stirring, provoking kind of setting for you to excel in the things of God. And the good news I have for you is the Spirit's already moving you to do that. He already wants to do it. He's already actually connecting you with certain people in this room, maybe not in this room. They don't have to go to New Life. There is no New Life, all right? There's just the kingdom of God. There's the church, and He's already compelling your heart to be with certain believers so that you guys can have King Jesus working in you to build you up. You've already got it. You've already got a desire to have fellowship. You've already got a desire to share the gospel. That one right there I know would freak a lot of people out. I'm just trying to work up courage to share the gospel. You don't need courage. You need the Holy Spirit's leading. He's got courage enough, and He's already setting up divine appointments for you to share the gospel. Your problem isn't that you need to get more committed to do these things, I think. Your problem is you need to get more into agreement with, or the goal is to get more into agreement with the Spirit of God who's already doing all these things. Does that make sense? The Spirit of God's already doing this stuff in you. I got to get you listening. There's a duplicitous thing within us that's in controversy within our lives. Galatians 5 will say, the Spirit lusteth, or you know, is envieth and lusteth against the things of the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the things of the Spirit. And there's a conflict that is raging within us. And in our naturalism and what we're walking in our lives in flesh, we're so often dull of hearing to what the Spirit is actually saying. So what I'm excited about, all of you, and would say to you is, don't you know? Don't you know that the Spirit of God is in you right now? Don't you know that He's already orchestrating fellowship with you? I don't need to get you a small group. The Spirit of God is already connecting you with believers. He's on mission to do this. Don't you know that the Spirit of God within you is already orchestrating divine appointments for mission and for evangelism? They're happening all around you. And nothing is more pleasurable and more fun and more enjoyable in the presence of God than getting involved with what the Spirit is doing within us. This ministry of provoking and stirring is something that I think we all got to recommit to, really do. The Spirit is doing this thing. I've been a provoker since I was a little guy. I've told the stories. I wish Tim was here, but me and Tim in the back of the car, 7, 8 years old, my goal was to get Tim irritated and for him to swing his fist and get trouble and get a spanking. You cannot believe how many times I succeeded with things like this. I'd breathe on him. Or he'd look over. He was looking in the car, and he'd look at me, and I'm like, got my eyes just looking at him with the goofiest look I could look, and I'd hold it for multiple minutes until Tim got irritated. I would provoke. It was awesome. Tim had a short fuse, and it was fun to light the thing. Every now and then he'd hit me, and that wasn't as fun. But what was fun is that in my carnal nature, Mom and Dad would lay into him because he's just this irritable little guy that's doing the deal until Dad did the mirror down and looked in the back and saw me going, and it wasn't so fun. He's like, oh, we see the short-tempered kid is being provoked and stimulated by the irritating kid, which is what I am. And so what the Lord's done actually in my life, and if you've met in discipleship with me, this is what I do. I've had guys who love me and are encouraging toward me tell me I'm one of the most irritating people they've ever been around. And they did it in such a good spirit because I would encourage them with Bible verses, but then I'd go after stuff within their life if the Spirit of God would put it on my heart. I challenged them about their language. I remember one guy really close to me, a son of the faith. I was in a meeting with him, I think about nursery stuff. And after I got done, I go, dude, how can you talk to your wife? He was talking to his wife in a demeaning, frustrating way right in front of all of us, you know? And I just loved him enough to go, it grieves the Spirit in me when you speak to your wife that way. And I know you probably don't even really want to do that, but there's some frustration going, isn't there? And he took the challenge, apologized to her, and began to adjust what he was doing. Now, that wasn't a deal where he slapped me a high five and said, cool, hit me again. You know what I mean? He was like, that was really painful. And it was embarrassing to him, but he did respond in humility, and I provoked him to love and good deeds with his wife. We can do this. You got to do this. We need to be a healing balm to one another. But I'm telling you, we need to be sandpaper. We need to be a sharp stick that pokes. I love it, and I'm a sadist probably in the kingdom, but I love it when people bring me, yes, going to be an apostle to the nations, blah, blah, blah. But I tell you what, I love when people go, you know what? I hear pride in your heart. And when they do it in love and there's life on it, I'm telling you, I just go, and it reveals this other layer. Jesus does it to me all the time. He really speaks words that just like reveal who I am. And they're so life-giving and painful about who I am. But it begins to unlock encouragement and stirs me up to love and good deeds. I'm telling you, we're supposed to be holy provokers, holy stirrers. We need to be in each other's faces and not with attitude and not judging, but challenging. Because I've seen some of my good friends get lukewarm and go off into deception, go off into sin, go off into whatever when they get out of the context of a provoking thing. In fact, I've had people, I'm a little, have you noticed, provoking when I preach? Has anybody noticed that before? It's a little painful. So painful to hear sometimes. I like to be Mr. Funny Guy, and I want you all to like me, but I'm getting over that more. I really want you all to be free in Jesus, and I want you to be stirred up. So I come up here, yeah, with some healing oil, grace of God, and then I've got me a big sharp stick, and I'm just trying to ram it right in your heart. And you all should say thank you. Aren't you so thankful? Because I love you. That's why I love my children. I do the same thing with them. Let me hug, kiss. Listen, the attitude. Listen, you know what I mean? We should be doing this and have a context to speak the truth in love. And I fear, because of the fear of man and politics, we don't do that. Because we don't trust each other and we don't trust God, we don't do that. Now listen, I don't want you just to come and be negative to me. I've had people come and just be negative and they want to hurt me and I could feel the grief in my spirit. That's not the same as a loving rebuke that brings life into our lives. So I'm calling you all to holy stirring and holy provoking because the day is drawing near. The day is upon us. The day, I'm telling you, it's the sunset of the age. It's the sunset of the age. We are near the second coming. I want to proclaim again my life vision I'm living for and praying for and preaching for, the global invasion of planet Earth by Jesus who will take back the nations. I want the end of this age. I want it to come. And that day, though, is going to be a period of time full of discouragement, full of all kinds of trial and deception and all kinds of things. And we're going to need each other. This won't be some optional thing. I think I'll try me a small group. We're going to need it to survive. And I tell you, I think we're possibly deluded if we don't think we need it now to survive. You can't stay hot in Jesus by yourself, I don't think. I think it's hard to do. Now, there's some people on an island and God could do what he can do. But I'm telling you, he didn't design it that way. If it's not relational, if it's not relationship, it's not kingdom. He set up a kingdom made of multiple living stones. We've got to get in each other's faces. We got to pray for one another, challenge one another, give verses and keep poking each other unto love and good deeds. And I would like to do that a little bit right now. How about you? Let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. As the day is drawing near and you're prepping our communities of faith all over the place where they are, I praise you that you're teaching us how to be the body of Christ. Thank you for setting us free from the agenda of making New Life famous or building New Life. Thank you that you've given us loose hands about that. And so we just again confess this is about your reputation, not ours. But Lord, you're building something holy and it's made up of people. It doesn't have a name on it except the name you call it. And I'm praying right now for an engagement of heart of everyone in this room. Call us out of isolation, call us up against one another, that we might stimulate, encourage one another with great, great, just edifying words and with awesome, heartrending, challenging words. Lord, I pray you cause us to really love each other and care enough that we wouldn't watch each other die in lukewarmness. Would you teach us the skill of stirring and provoking one another unto love and good deeds? I thank you in my life that it has not been the greatest help, all the people who have applauded. The best helps actually come from the trouble. And there's just something powerful about the nature of that. And so I pray that you help us to embrace this activity now. In Jesus' name. We're about done. I got 10 legal minutes left. I don't think I'm going to take them all, but I don't want to leave here without doing what we just said. I want us to provoke each other, stimulate one another. I want us to stir each other in the faith. The Spirit of Christ is already doing this within you. He really is. And what I'm going to need you to do, if you, I need to get up here, and then they're up there. Great. I want us to practice doing this, and especially you that never feel like you can ever challenge somebody. This is a great, safe context to do that, where you are led by the Spirit and you say something to somebody. Now, by the way, that leading the Spirit may be, you know, you just got a sweet countenance and you're made to be a lover of Jesus, and he's made you romantic. He's made you with that kind of passionate heart, and I love you enough to say, watch out for all that might compete for your heart that loves to give its heart away, because you are his sweet, sweet bride. Now, I'm actually talking to her, the little Stotts girl, and feeling that. I hope some of that's edifying. Are you a romantic of sorts? Yeah, you are. She loves to love. And thus is her warfare, and thus is her glory. And so I bring encouragement, and I bring, oh my, watch. Because he made you to be this overt lover, this romantic one. Yeah. And so things will come in and compete for that. And it could be stuff or people or, I don't know, events, whatever. But the Lord, I just be cautious. Because it is precious what he's put in your heart to release affection, okay? So you see what I'm doing there a little bit? Is I'm just kind of being led by the Spirit and trying to stir her up a little bit. Some of this can come from just supernatural revelation that comes. And some of it comes just by, you know what I mean, knowledge. You're around somebody. And you just know, the Spirit's been saying to you for a while, this person struggles with gossip, you know, and being able to go to someone and just genuinely say, I just love you, Dennis, and you're awesome. I'm making this up. This is not about you. But I love you, but every time we talk, it seems like there's a little bit of a slant, you know, some negative stuff about other people. So when we talk, I just want you to know that that doesn't totally edify me, and I just want, do you feel like you know you're doing that? I'm making this up, by the way. But we can do that, Bert. You know, every time we talk, you're just cussing like a sailor, and it just grieves my spirit within me. He says no unwholesome talk should come out of your mouth. So I just wanted you to know, what do you think about that? Now, I made that up. I've never heard Bert cuss ever. But that process right there is me really having, I'm telling you, that you come in and sit in a building and listen to a guy preach and you sing songs, that's not biblical fellowship. Biblical fellowship is hard work. Relationships hard work. Anybody notice that? Just your marriages. How's that going? You know? It's tough stuff, but it takes that engagement of our hearts, and you got to practice it. You got to do it, and you got to take the risk of faith to in love challenge someone or give them an encouraging word, whatever it be, and then God begins to build his kingdom. So here's what we do. We're going to do this morning just in one quick minute. I want you to move your holy heads back and forth and look around the room. Just look around the room, everybody, if you can look around the room. And I want you in your heart to be going, Lord, is there anything, anyone that's standing out to me? Honestly, look around. You can turn around if you're in the front, or you guys in the back get to see all of us. See if the Spirit of Christ in your heart is drawing you towards someone. It may be your own kid next to you. It may be your spouse. But it could be a friend. We did this in Wichita, and people just started moving all over the room and just encouraging one another as we practiced listening to the Spirit and going to provoke. I don't mean go give them a hard word. You may be drawn to someone. It's like, Joanne, you're such a sweetie. I feel the affection and love of the Lord for you. That's encouraging. Okay? I'm not asking you to come up with some big, deep word.
but that you follow the leading of your heart because he's building stone to stone. The king manifests his presence in the midst of relationships.